The title of today's message is very simple. I believe in you. I got three major points. The first one is the power that takes place when you look at someone and say, I believe in you. The second point is when you can sense in your spirit that the Lord is looking at you and he's saying, I believe in you. And then the third point is when somebody crosses over and they lift their chin, they put their eyes and say, God, my faith is thin as paper, but I want you to know I believe in you. So let's jump into the first point, the power of when somebody says, I believe in you. I'm going to share three scriptures that support each of those points. I'm going to quote it, and then we're going to read it together. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, it says this, anxiety weighs on the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Let's read it together now. One, two, three, anxiety. Hold on. Luke wasn't reading. Now we got to do it all over again. One, two, three, real loud. Anxiety. Every single one of us fights things that nobody knows about. Where every person you look at is fighting something that you know nothing about. When you look at them and you say, I believe in you, whether it's with words or when it's an eye contact with a smile, you lift them up. There was a study about the sociologist did a study on NBA basketball teams. And they started at the beginning of the season, in the preseason, before the season even started. And they said, we think we can predict which teams are going to do so good during the season that they go to the playoffs. And so they studied the teams in the preseason. Now, keep in mind, after the preseason, the season is 81 games. And the teams that do the best over 81 games go to the playoffs. And they said, we can predict what teams are going to go to the playoffs. And the way they figured it out is during the preseason, how many of the players give each other a high five or a fist bump? Isn't that wild? The teams that do it the most, because when you give somebody a high five, you are non-verbally saying, I believe in you, you're doing awesome. You're doing awesome. I believe in you. And when somebody receives that kind of encouragement over and over and over again, they begin to believe it as well. Their spirit begins to be lifted up. My son plays basketball, and they had a basketball party towards the end of this year. He just finished his junior year. He's going into his senior year. And so they have a new coach, and so the parents showed up. And when we were there, one of Luke's teammates has a brother that's a dwarf. And so if you are a dwarf, you can assume that your confidence and insecurity is extremely high. You can just assume it. But the parents look at him his brother and the other siblings look at him and they say over and over, God made you this way for a special reason. Over and over and over again. The young man is about, how old is he? 9? 9 years old. The parents started a YouTube channel just to follow him around because he's that special. He has gone like viral. Thousands of people have subscribed to his channel and follow him. He's become famous. And so when I went to the party, I saw him and I looked at him and I said, are you the one that's famous? And he looks at me and goes, yep. And he just went on and played with his friends. He just looked at me and went, yep. He's not lacking confidence because people are constantly looking at him, lifting him up. A little high five here, a smile there, eye contact here. I remember when I went to a new school. I went to 13 schools growing up, and I was nervous going into the school. And my dad looked at me, and he says, Frankie, with your personality, you're going to be just fine. Don't worry about it. However, if you want to make an impact to where nobody ever forgets you, look for kids who are not cool. In every classroom, and just walk around and give them a 5. Say hi. Because these kids are going to appreciate you, and the kids that are popular are going to notice. So start with them, and then you can kind of flock to the cool kids and say that. So I did it. Wouldn't you know? Years later, far after I graduated, I bump into people and they don't forget. On the flip side, people who do the exact opposite, they're not forgotten either, but for the exact opposite reasons. The power of looking at someone and saying, I believe in you causes cheer to be lifted up. Everybody is fighting something you know nothing about, but God has called you to walk around and look at people and non-verbally or verbally give them a high five. Look at them in the eyes. Say something. Have an air about you where people know you like them. Are you with me? Say yes. Are you with me? Say yes. So those words, I believe in you. Secondly, is when God sets in your heart that something is good. I'm kind of embarrassed right now because I mentioned my son Luke and I didn't know that I needed him in multiple examples. So I'm a little embarrassed, Luke. I'm sorry. The sense of knowing that God is for you. Let me quote a scripture that supports it, and then we'll read it together. In Psalms 139, David says this, God, you have searched my heart. Now personalize this. God has searched your heart. He knows everything about your heart. It says, God, you have searched my heart. You know everything about me. God knows everything about you. He says this, you see me every time I sit down. He notices when you sit down. He says, God, you see me every single time I stand up. He notices you every time he stands up. You stand up. He says this, You see me when I travel or when I stay at home and rest. You know everything I do. Watch this. I'm gonna personalize it. He knows every single word you say before you say it. This is God believing in you. And right down in here, you can almost sense, not out loud, but you can almost sense the Lord talking to you and saying it. Now, we're all going to read this scripture together. And if Crystal doesn't read, we're going to read it all over again. All right, come on, let's read it together. Oh, Lord. Crystal wasn't reading. Okay. Oh, Lord. All right. Luke, I'm sorry. I got to use you one more time. He's good at basketball. I'm not trying to brag on him, but he's good. About a year and a half ago, someone was throwing the ball in the air. He's catching it, two hands, almost dunking, which is awesome for a white boy. When he was a freshman, we were so excited because he's got 4 years of basketball in high school. In the middle of a game, somebody elbows him right in the tooth, and his tooth is dangling. We had to get to an orthodontist quickly to save his tooth. So this ruins half of his freshman year. But it's okay. He's got 3 more years of high school. Going into his sophomore year, he's playing basketball practice. And somebody comes down for a rebound, and their elbow busts his nose. Blood is everywhere. We had to take him to plastics, a plastic surgeon, to put him under to fix his bone. Sophomore year, gone. He's wearing a mask to play, missed half of it. He can't, the season's over. Freshman year, his tooth. Sophomore year, nose. But it's okay. We got 2 more years. Junior year, going into his junior year in the preseason, he's playing. He snaps his ACL and goes to the ground. Junior year, over. But it's okay. His senior year is the year. He's going into his senior year. He just finished his junior year. And 3 weeks ago, they got a new basketball coach. And the new basketball coach shows up to Tomball High School, and he starts going behind all the players' back and says, who do you guys think should be the captain next year? Unanimously, all the players say, Luke Mazapika. The next day, during practice, he snaps his ACL again. Senior year, gone. Freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, senior year. I'm going to say something that's going to make him emotional, his mother emotional, and we've already cried over this. I'm never going to see him in a basketball jersey again. So the whole family, we back up, and I'm sorry I'm emotional, but it just happened. We all back up, and we're like, God, What in the world? And I felt the Lord tell me, not out loud, just right down in here. Do you think you love him more than me? I'm not done writing his story. And this is just part of it. It's just part of it. It's just right down in here. Some of you, the Bible says this in John 6:33, that no man comes to God unless drawn by the Son. You're not here because somebody made you come. You felt drawn to come. The Lord drew you to come. When I was in Bible college, I got upset with the Lord, so I decided to not pray for about 3 months. I'm in Bible college. I'm sitting in the back of the church, not out here, just right down in here. I feel the Lord tell me, I miss you. How many of you have a similar moment with the Lord? These are moments when you're feeling the Lord say, I believe in you. I've been paying attention to you, even when you haven't been paying attention to me. The Bible says that you're the apple of his eye, which means the center of attention. You have a peripheral view, but you can only focus on one thing at a time. Whatever you're focusing on is the apple of your eye. He has not taken his eye off of you. It's the Lord saying, I believe in you. I'm not done writing your chapter. The power of saying, I believe in you. The power of a high five. The power of lifting someone up. The power of feeling the Lord say, I believe in you. And now for the few. The few, not everyone, the few that say, God, I believe in you. He believes in me. You believe in me. But I just want you to know, I believe in you. David, King David, crown on the head, the kingdom. He says, this one thing I want, one thing, is to worship you in your temple, to gaze at the glory of your face, and to praise you in your house all the days of my life. Let's all read it together. If I miss a couple words, you'll hear the heart of it. One, two, three. One thing. The few, not everyone. How do I know it's the few? In Matthew chapter 13, verse 7, it says this, narrow is the gate. Narrow is the path that leads to eternal life, and a few find it. A few. A few will say, I believe in you. And sometimes when I believe in you, it's this much. Sometimes it's this much. But I want you to know, I believe in you. I like listening to preachers preach during the week. I learn a lot. I'm inspired. And one of the preachers was being interviewed because he had just put out a new book. And the person that was interviewing him said to him, "What do you say to people who say, 'I believe in God, but when I pray, I really don't notice a difference, so I don't pray that much. What do you say?'" And he says this, "Pray for 20 minutes a day for 6 months, and then come back and talk to me." And see, when I pray, I have an appointment with God. Anytime I come to the office, I put a do not disturb sign on my door. I shut the door and I pray for a few hours. But when he said that, I thought, 20 minutes doesn't interrupt my day. From now on, every time I wake up, the first thing I'm going to do is pray for 20 minutes. So I heard the message on Wednesday, and this week I flew to Milwaukee to minister to a pastor to the best of my ability. And I flew back on Thursday, but I heard the interview on Wednesday. And I already told the Lord, starting tomorrow morning, I'm going to do this. I'm on the plane. I pull my hat down. I pull my hoodie down because I don't want to look like a nutcase. And I start whispering to the Lord without voice underneath me for 20 minutes. I don't know if I felt God or if I was just proud of myself. Friday morning, I do the same thing. 20 minutes. I set my phone alarm. I'm not going to stop until my phone alarm goes off. And just like you, while I'm praying, all of a sudden my brain starts wandering and I'm like, "Holy Spirit, help me." And I start praying again. And I just pray about anything that crosses my mind. That was Friday. Saturday morning, first thing, drink my coffee, because that's an anointed drink. I drink my coffee, go straight to the guest bedroom, on my knees, set my alarm on my phone, 20 minutes. This morning, I already know. I wake up at 5 in the morning on Sundays, and I already know when I get to my office, I'm going to be praying, but, 20 minutes, I've already made that commitment. I get done praying, and I say, my wife said something, new sermon. Well, now I really don't need to worry about putting 10 hours into a message or 8 hours into a message, because now it's right at the top. And so now I took a yellow sticky and wrote out my message, took a picture of it, and sent it to media. They were thrilled. When you live your life, this one thing I want, this one thing I will seek. Now you're a part of the few that you're saying, if I only do one thing good in my life, it's going to keep my head, my eyes on you. That's it. Why don't you stand up on your feet? Keep on clapping. Lord, we love you. We love you. I'd like for all of our prayer partners to come down, if you would. Let me ask you a question. If your heart were to stop beating in the next 5 minutes, are you 100% sure that you're ready to see Jesus. And you know where you're going to spend eternity. 100, not 99, not 95, not just because you believe in God, the devil believes in God, but you're 100% sure. If you're not 100% sure, I am begging you not to leave this sanctuary without telling the Lord, I'm yours, and I need your grace, and I need your mercy. And whether I trip, whether I fall, I'm a part of the few. I believe in you, and I trust you. If that's you, in a minute, not right now, I'd like to encourage you to come out of your seat and take the hand of a prayer partner and just say, I need to get my life right with God. If you say, I don't want to do that in front of everybody, the Bible says that if you're ashamed of God in front of people, he'll be ashamed of you when he sees you. That's one group. The second group is sometimes, and I am in this category throughout the week, so many times I can't even think, where I just want someone to pray for me. And if that's you in this room, today is your day. You just want someone to pray for you. These prayer partners are here for exactly that. If all the prayer partners are praying with somebody, just come to the bottom of the aisle. We have some of the finest ushers in the world that'll point you to the first available prayer partner. There's no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you want. But this is what I'm going to ask. Let's sing one song together. Or one time through. You don't even have to stay to the very end if you don't want to. You can stay as long as you want. You can leave. Open dismiss. But let me encourage you. Let's sing it one time through. Let me pray a blessing over your life. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May his countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.